dramatic feature transcribed earlier from Eastern Mutual.
Vic and Zade, radio's famous home folks, brought to you by the F.W. Fitch Company, makers of Fitch's Sabonified Coconut Oil Teal Hair Tonic.
Laugh a while, let a song be your style, use Fitch Shampoo. Don't despair, use your head, save your hair, use Fitch Shampoo.
Well, sir, it's about the middle of the afternoon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mrs. Victor Gook all by herself. Mrs. Gook is at the telephone in earnest conversation with her close friend and confidant, Mrs. Frederick Stembaugh.
Gee, Ruthie, do you think that was wise? It's none of my business, of course, and you probably don't want any 2 cents worth from me, but now you'll have to take care over to Mulberry Street for your groceries. Yes. Oh, just a second, lady. I think I hear somebody in my kitchen. Hello? Croucher? Is that you, Irvin? Orville?
No.
All right. It's the gas meter reader boy, Ruthie. Yeah, Orville Wheeler. No, go ahead with what you were saying. I'm on the telephone here, Orville. Excuse me, please, till I get finished.
I'm not back here. Never noticed you were talking on the phone. Maybe I'm still asleep.
Well, gee, Ruthie, I think I'd try to make it up with Mr. Croucher. You don't want to traipse all over town for your groceries. Of course, it's strictly your business and not my place to try to give advice. What? Somebody at the front door? We'll run along. Sure, and maybe we'll talk some more later, You bet. All righty, Ruthie. You betty lady. Bye. Well, how are you, Orville?
Oh, I'm in A1 condition, Miss Cook. My brain just drank back sobbing and collapsed inside my skull, and I got absolutely nothing on my mind.
Did I hear you say you'd been asleep?
I've been dead to the world for the last hour and a half.
Well, where'd you take your night's nap?
Down cellar.
Down cellar? Where?
Down cellar here.
Our cellar?
Sure.
You've been down in my basement the last hour and a half?
I never thought you'd have any objection.
It gives a person an uneasy feeling to find out people are skulking in their house unbeknownst to them. There's going to be fellas sleeping in my cellar. I'd like to know about it in advance.
Yes, ma'am. I'll
be
right there.
Ma'am, you in the living room, ma'am?
There's somebody in the kitchen.
Yes, I heard him holler. Hello, Willie.
I am in a towering fury.
I'm in a towering fury.
Will you remember about falling asleep in our basement after this?
Your instructions is etched on my memory.
No, but I mean what I say. What's eating you?
I am in a towering fury.
Now, we heard you screech that just now. Is the movie show matinee over so soon?
I was thrown out of the movie show matinee.
Here's Orville Weenie. Tell him hello.
Well...
Oh, you got some brown stuff on your forehead.
Butterscotch.
You got some white stuff on your chin.
Marshmallow.
Don't happen to have any potato peelings in your hair, do you?
Mom, I have been deeply insulted.
You were kicked out of the theater?
Mr. Ferberman, the manager, personally placed his hand on my shoulder and forcibly ushered me up the aisle.
Did you get your money back?
Sure, I got my money back.
Fine. That's all that's necessary. Most likely you've learned a lesson. Next time you'll behave yourself, maybe.
You're going to condemn me unheard?
It's too warm for excited palaver and loud talking.
I'm going to sue that theater for damages.
Yes, do that.
There's a spot of black stuff on your earlobe, right?
Licorice.
There's something about summer weather that gets into people and makes them act foolish in the head. Like little summer thunder showers. Long about this time of the year, middle of July, a person is unpredictable. A moment ago, Willie, I was talking to Stembaugh on the telephone. She was all in an uproar. This morning, she had a sharp, impulsive, crazy quarrel with Mr. Croucher there in the grocery store. They both said things they didn't mean. And it ended up with Miss Stembottom marching out in a huff and announcing she was going to trade somewhere else. I ain't that foolish. And over nothing. Like a quick summer thunder shower that comes suddenly out of nowhere and is gone half hour later.
I have been damaged and insulted. I will sue the manager of the Bijou Theater. I shall not rest until justice has been weighed in the balance and found wanting.
Fine. Now let's talk about something else.
Mr. Milton Furberman will cringe and crawl and whine out an agonized apology.
Yes, indeed.
What you said about summer thunderstorms is pretty much true, I think, Miss Brooks, but I don't believe it applies to me.
Well, maybe not, Oracle.
It's my brains. They lay back inside my skull, soggy and paralyzed. They fold back easy and relaxed.
Good girl. You home?
Here's Gov Hall.
Uh-huh. Hi. Lots of the different ones accumulating in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
Say, do you remember me bringing home any kind of documents from the office in the last several days?
What?
Sadie, do you remember me bringing home any kind of a document in the last several days?
No.
I don't think I did bring home any document in the last several days.
I don't think I did bring home any document in the last several days.
I'm positive I did.
I'm positive I did.
I think I can hear him all right for myself now.
Okay.
Well, I see you have some help, kiddo.
Yes.
Hello, Gov.
Greetings, Sam.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Brooks.
How are you, Orville, old scout?
Completely at my ease, thanks. My muscles and my nerves and my brains are all strung out as soft and comfortable as boiled macaroni. Haven't got a beef in the world.
Well, I have. Say, Chief Hart, within the last week, have you seen me bring home any documents from the office?
Well, Vic, I don't keep track of junk you bring home from the office.
An important paper has been mislaid. The boss says he's convinced he'd give it to me. I have no recollection of any such doggone thing. We had a sharp exchange of feverish remarks.
You and Mr. Rubish had a sharp exchange of feverish remarks?
Mr. Rubish strongly intimated he considered me a fathead. And I made oblique reference to halfwits that resemble gunny sacks full of wet stuff.
This is you and your boss talking?
Well, not two other guys.
Another summer thundershower, Miss Brooks.
It looks like it, Orville.
You got brown stuff on your forehead and white stuff on your chin and black stuff in your ears.
Butterscotch, marshmallow, and liquor. I was kicked out of the moving picture show.
Why?
The manager objected to certain remarks I made aloud concerning the stars in the picture, Four-Fisted Frank Fuddleman and Gloria Gold.
Did you get your money back?
I got my money back, but I suffered injured feelings.
You may put your injured feelings in your hat and then pull your hat down over your ears. Kiddo, what would you think if I told you I was seriously considering making another connection?
Not quitting your job.
Am I to be a target for insult and abuse? Am I to be treated like some small, irresponsible child? My boss, J.K. Rubish, voiced some observations this afternoon. I cannot easily forgive or forget.
Oh, but now, listen, your job.
Oh.
What's the matter?
That was a burst of bitter that.
Oh, but it...
My boss, J.K. Rubish, displayed an important document and then peevishly and childishly claimed about me.
Was he peevish and childish?
He was peevish and childish.
Summer thundershower.
Well,
this is the time of the year when midsummer madness gets a hold of you. They're touchy and irritable and on edge. Why, a little while ago, I was talking to Ruthie on the phone and she was almost crying. It seems she had a spat with Mr. Proctor there at the grocery store.
I don't want to hear about Ruthie, please.
Well, look at Rush here. He goes to the movie.
Do not wish to look at Rush either. All I wish to do is to break in the first of bitter laughter. I will break in the first of bitter laughter.
Uncle Fletcher.
Uh-huh. Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
I would like to use your home a few minutes to transact some very urgent business.
What?
I would like to use your home a few moments to transact some very urgent business.
Oh. Oh, please, Ben.
There was a burst of bitter laughter.
It sounds silly.
Well, let it sound silly.
Hey, honey. I am giving my landlady notice.
Sadie, honey, I am giving my landlady notice.
Oh, my.
I have been insulted, abused, and pumped on by the sharp temper of a spiteful woman.
I have been insulted, abused, and pumped on by the sharp temper of a spiteful woman.
Oh, Uncle Fletcher.
I am giving my landlady, Miss Keller, 6 months' notice. I will find another place to live.
For midsummer madness, Miss Brooks.
Yes, Orville.
I am unswerving in my determination to sue the management of the Bijou Picture Show for many thousands of dollars.
Everybody's got midsummer madness.
Yes.
I'll show that half-wit landlady who she's insulting, abusing, and tromping on.
Let's go swimming again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Summer is great for fun, but it's pretty hard on a person's hair.
Right you are, lady. Exposure to sun, water, and wind is hard on the hair. So we suggest Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo to help everyone keep hair looking attractive this summer. Fitch's saponified shampoo is made from mild coconut and pure vegetable oils. It never dries your hair or leaves it feeling harsh and brittle. Fitch's saponified shampoo does not rob your hair of its natural oils. It makes it soft, manageable. It's great for cleansing, too. You don't have to worry about summer dust and unpleasant scalp odors spoiling the allure and grooming of your hair. Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo forms mountains of fragrant lather that completely cleanses away dust and scalp odors from the hair. Try it today. That's Fitch, F-I-T-C-H. Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo. Look for the bottle with the bright yellow label. Now, back again, we go to the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block. Vic has searched for his boss's lost document in vain and is now sitting gloomily on the davenport. Rush and Uncle Fletcher consider their troubles as they stand beside the library table. Orville Weeney contemplates the group with interest from his comfortable station in the easy chair. And Sade, regarding the gentleman sharply from a point near the bookcase, feels moved to address them in this wise.
This is ridiculous, all you fellas moping and groaning and muttering to yourselves.
Oh, I'm not moping and groaning and muttering to myself. I'm as relaxed as a hippopotamus. My brain just sliced back inside my skull like a chunk of wet pudding.
Oh, you're hot stuff, you are, I...
Queenie, not Heine. Queenie rhymes with meanie. How does the old song go? You're a sissy dolly doo. I'm a meanie, miney moo. There's your sweetheart, Bill and Coo. Are your pants and necktie new? Are your socks and garters blue? Does baby sister Ruth say goo? The city of San Francisco.
Oh, fine, Orville.
I made myself unpopular all of a sudden.
Yes, indeed.
Unpopularity is a thing that's never bothered me.
You manage to keep happy all the time, huh?
Well, just as long as my brains lay back limp and spongy.
I am going to sue the management of the Bijo Theater.
You said that.
Well, I am.
A hot July day comes along and you get hit by the midsummer madness streak that jumps on people and talk out loud and smart-alecky in the picture show. And the manager, feeling the July weather as much as you are, and asks you to leave. So who cares?
I care.
Tomorrow, Sadie, I'm going to walk into Mr. Rubish's office, and I'm going to say, look here, Rubish, I've said...
Oh, and for you. It's warm and close and dusty down at work, and everybody's a little jumpy and off their feet. And two great big grown-up men like you and your boss are happy to find some little tiny insignificant thing that'll give them an excuse to act like peevish children and get rid of the hotness and impatience and midsummer madness they got cooped up inside of them. What are you going to do, Uncle Fletcher?
You're going to let wet my brain colorful.
And give your landlady notice?
That is my thought, yes.
Miss Keller will be broken-hearted.
She should have thought of that when she destroyed my crock of hyena grease.
I think that the...
Rush, honey. You've got a splurge of creosote on your ear.
That's licorice.
You've got a splurge of buttermilk on your chin.
Marshmallow.
You've got a grande cylinder oil on your forehead.
That's butterscotch.
You're all that stuff.
Yes, indeed.
No, Sadie, honey. Miss Keller should have thought of her broken heart when she destroyed my crock of hyena grease.
Oh, I bet you were careless with your hyena grease or something.
I am never careless with hyena grease. Hyena grease is the finest preparation on the face of the earth for smearing on the shoes. When I stir up a batch of hyena grease, I treat that batch of hyena grease as tenderly as I treat some suffering invalid writhing on a bed of pain.
Well, what happened to the hyena grease?
I had it at my souvenir cross that says compliments of sweet Esther, Wisconsin. I put that crock on the sideboard there in the sitting room. This color come along, appropriated that crock of hyena grease, and flung it out in the oven.
But didn't she offer any reason or excuse?
She complained of the bouquet.
Okay.
There are ingredients in hyena grease, lady honey, which renders it unsuitable for the gold and silver drawing room of your high-toned, blue-blooded aristocrat.
You mean it has a strong odor?
I hesitate to use the expression strong odor in the presence of ladies, gentlemen, children, and half-wits, all of whom are represented here this afternoon.
Which is which?
Beg your pardon, lad?
You said there were ladies and gentlemen and children and half-wits present. I want to know which is which.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Your question is answered.
Some things a man hates to pry into very close.
I bet it was something like this, Uncle Fletcher. I bet Miss Keller told you before she didn't want any more crocks of hyena grease put on top of her sideboard and warned you the next time it happened, she'd throw it out in the alley.
There may be something in what you say.
Yeah, I bet there's plenty in what I say.
Say, I believe I'll go out in the backyard.
And eat worms?
You're inclined to be jocular?
I'm inclined to think it's awful, awful silly for a grown man to cry and bellyache and complain just because a hot summer day comes along. And...
There's other complaints I got against Miss Keller, Sadie. Other complaints aside from hyena grease.
Huh?
I'll give you an example. My quiz is late.
Life is just bursting with trouble, isn't it, son?
Yes, it is.
What's your example, Uncle Fletcher?
This morning I was sitting out in the side yard on the cistern lid, eating stingyberry jam on oyster crackers, and pounding an iron breather off of a hawk lorry into a spike welge to be used on a gull neck stretch fever.
What?
You inquired what, Harvey, Sadie Huddy?
Well, I most certainly did inquire what.
You are puzzled on some point?
I'm puzzled on several points. What's a stretch fever?
You probably know it under the name of reversible camp winch.
No, I don't know it under that name.
Tilvers, number 3?
No.
Harris Blackwell, number 3?
No.
Hooney Davis, number 78?
No.
I don't know of any other names for it. I understand there's mechanics in the eastern part of northwestern South Dakota that simply calls it Harry.
They call what Harry?
What Harry?
Oh, ish. Forget it.
I believe I will.
I thought you were going out in the backyard, Vic, and eat worms.
Well, I did. I only this minute returned. You just didn't notice me leave.
I'll give you another example of the way Miss Keller insults, abuses, and tromps on me.
All right.
The other evening, I dreamed a dream and started to tell my landlady about it at the breakfast table, and she claimed she was too busy to listen to any half-wit dream.
Well, it is tedious sometimes on hot July mornings to listen to people's dreams.
But this dream was a first-rate, a number one kind of dream. Vic, honey, do you remember Art and Bullard Gummer Chuck there in Dixon?
No.
I dreamed I saw them boys. They were angels, and they hovered over my bed. Both were wearing wings and carrying harps, and they each had on a pair of yellow bulldog-toed Oxfords. And them yellow bulldog-toed Oxfords, Vic, honey, were transparent and made out of moonbeams.
What do you know about that?
Can you imagine a half-wit numbskull lame-brained landlady that refused to listen to a dream as fascinating as that dream? I should have given her notice on the spot.
How's your Midsummer Madness, Rush?
Same as ever. Tomorrow I will sue the Bijou Theater for heavy damages.
How's your Midsummer Madness, Vic?
The treatment accorded me this afternoon by J.K. Rubish rankles in my heart. My soul cries out for justice.
How do you feel, Uncle Fletcher?
I have been insulted, abused, and trampled on by the sharp temper of a spiteful woman. I will give my landlady 6 months' notice.
Orville, how are your brains?
Limp and soggy, folded and relaxed. My brains reminds me of a pair of catfish, lazy and contented, laying deep in a pool of water.
Mrs. Gutz, I have a question.
For me, Mr. Fuller?
Mm-hmm. Do you agree that every woman likes to hear the words, your hair smells sweet and fragrant?
Well, sure I do.
You know, lots of women think that's hard to do in the summertime, but it's not. Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo protects the daintiness of your hair at all times, leaves it ever so soft and fragrant. For this clear liquid shampoo fluffs up into swirls of cleansing lather. Lather that deftly removes dust, oily film, and unpleasant scalp odors from your hair. Then, ladies, Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo contains its own special patented rinsing agent.
Rinsing agent? Harold H. Harold was a rinsing agent back there in Dixon about the year 1901.
What kind of a job was that, Uncle Percy?
Yeah.
Well, this rinsing agent I'm talking about works right with the plain rinse water to remove every bit of lather and soapy film from the hair. It leaves your hair lustrous and shining with natural highlights and smelling fresh, sweet, and clean. Next time at your beauty or barber shop, ask for a professional application of Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo or buy an economical bottle at your drug or toilet goods counter. 6 full ounces for $0.50.
Where did that lad come from?
The woodwork, most likely.
Yes, indeed.
Midsummer melancholy obviously continues to prevail as we rejoin our friends at the small house halfway up in the next block. In fact, Uncle Fletcher is probably approximating the humors of our friends in this disquisition he's right in the middle of now.
Dankwell W. Earn expired on a sad, sleepy Sunday afternoon in late December. He was put to rest in a tomb in the Mossy Sleep Cemetery there in Dismal Creek, Ohio.
We're really having fun, aren't we, fellas?
I don't mind. Didn't key with my mood.
Dankwell never had a friend all during the course of his troubled life. He obtained his only pleasure in pasting faded rose leaves on moldy old album, which contained the frayed and brittle photographs of his many relatives, most of whose hearts had been broken. He never took any kind of nourishment except a few handfuls of dried leaves at twilight, maybe a little rainwater. He spent most of his time sitting in the attic with the curtains closed, letting the silent tears splice heavily to the dusty floor. Dankwell W. Earn never smiled, tittered, snickered, or guffawed. Dankwell W. Earn never chuckled.
Hey, look, fella.
What?
Look outdoors.
Rain, by George.
Yes, rain. A sweet little summer shower. See, it's so fresh at night, it doesn't even make a sound on the windows. It's just what we need.
Ought to cool things off.
It ought to cool things off. People, too.
Oh.
Come on, fellas. We've had enough of this silly moping and trash.
I'm going to sue the management of the Bijou Theater.
My boss, Mr. J.K. Rubish, will hear some mighty strong remarks to me tomorrow morning. Is he asking my resignation?
Okay.
I refuse to be insulted, abused, and talked on by the sharp temper of some spiteful woman.
Talk on, Dringan.
Sad news, likely.
Oh, it's sad news, nothing.
Want me to accept the mournful tidings?
You can just sit still.
Fine.
Hello? Oh, hello, lady. Call me back, huh?
The undertaker, likely.
I'm Joe Bell, Mrs. Denby.
I expect she's ill.
Really, Ruthie? Oh, well, Sandy. Didn't I tell you that'd be the best way? Well, sure. Well, I'm real glad. Yes, and it was sweet of you to telephone and tell me. Yes. Well, fine. All righty, Ruthie. You betty, lady. Goodbye.
I expect the undertaker wanted
Ruthie
to
Ruthie and the grocery man have made up this squabble. She called him to say she was sorry, and he was so happy about it, he apologized for half an hour. He admitted the hot, stuffy weather and the July madness had got under his skin.
Telephone's ringing.
Chief of police, likely. He's calling us up to tell us something terrible.
Hello. Yes, he is. Just one second. Brush. You.
Millie Clark?
I don't know.
Bluetooth John?
I don't know.
Brachiato?
Yes.
Brachiato?
I don't know. Here, take it.
My trousers are threadbare. My vest has got spots.
Oh, you're just in horrible shape.
I'm at the end of my tether, and no mistake.
Well? Yes? Who is this speaking, please? Yes, I had an idea it was. After the event which took place this afternoon, I scarcely feel like... What?
The red rose dies on the bush, and the white grape chokes on the vine.
The shoe pinches the foot, and the belt constricts the toe.
Why? I guess I can. Yes. In fact, I'm sure I can. What time do you want me? Okay. Fine, I'll be there. You bet, and thanks a lot. Goodbye.
May I guess who that was?
It was just a fella that inquired.
It was just a fella named Mr. Ferberman, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did he apologize for this afternoon?
No.
He did something.
He offered me a job ushering in the Bijou this evening. I'm to be paid $1.75.
That's pretty generous, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Quite a bit more than he usually pays, Kate.
Yes.
Well, I won't inquire into your business anymore. Only, if you'll forgive me for rubbing it in a little, I'd like to say...
Telephone's ringing.
You answer it. You're right there.
The bitter snowstorm gathers on the mountain.
It sure does.
Well? Yes. Well, I believe he is. Just one second. Doug.
Who is
it? I never recognized the voice.
Ain't good stuff, likely, wanting to borrow $2.
No, it's not Hank.
Michigan, wanting to borrow $8.
Oh, maybe.
Hello?
Hello. What? Am I eating at home this evening? Well, I generally eat at home. Just a second. I'll ask the wife. Kiddo, am I eating at home this evening?
Well, how you mean?
Well, I'm invited to eat downtown.
Well, you want to eat downtown?
Yes, I sort of enjoy eating downtown.
Well, eat downtown.
I'll eat downtown then?
Well, go ahead.
I'll eat downtown then. What? Is that the new one?
Oh, forget it.
Okay. Well, what do you say? Meet in the lobby of the Butler House Hotel.
Well, it suits me to a T.
7:15? Great. Okay. Goodbye.
Did he find the mislaid document?
Did who find what mislaid document?
Oh, nothing. I'm not prying into your business. Only I don't think I need any little bird to tell me.
The telephone's ringing.
Answer it. You got it in your hand.
Oh. Hello?
This ought to be for Uncle Fletcher.
Yeah. Why, yes, he is. Just one second, please.
Uncle Fletcher.
What?
Telephone.
Who wants me on the net with telephone?
A lady.
How do you know?
Oh, I just have a feeling is all. Isn't it a lady?
Mm. Well, hand me the numbskull telephone.
Hand him the numbskull telephone.
Think one nuisance is another.
Hello? What? Speak up, Lab.
How was that again, Lab? Oh, I protest. Oh, I ain't a grease ain't that important, Lab. No.
For Pete's sake, what is this?
I think I have an idea.
All right, Lab, let's leave it go at that. You bet, Lab. Certainly, Lab. Goodbye, Lab. Some darn people are great big softies over the telephone.
I'm not even going to inquire into who that was, Uncle Fletcher.
I'm not obliged to reveal it to you if you did inquire.
Of course you're not. A man's telephone conversations are strictly his own business.
You do. Some darn people, they talk like softies.
Oh, what you smiling about, Rush?
I got a right to smile if I feel like it.
Everybody's smiling, Mrs. Cook.
I was just noticing.
And look out the window.
Sunshine.
Midsummer showers are over.
The midsummer showers are over.
And so we end our visit at the small house, halfway up the next block, with radio's home folks, Vic and Steve. Listen again next Thursday, same time, same station, when the F.W. Fitch Company again presents Vic and Steve. Vic and Steve is written by Paul Reimer, directed by Roy Windsor. This is Jack Fuller speaking.
Laugh a while, let a song be your style, use Fitch shampoo. Don't despair, use your head, save your hair, use Fitch shampoo.
After and between Fitch shampoos, you can keep your hair shining and manageable by using a few drops of Fitch's Ideal Hair Tonic every day. Fitch's Ideal Hair Tonic is not sticky or greasy, yet it gives your hair that well-groomed look.
This program was transcribed earlier from Eastern Mutual for presentation to West Coast listeners at this later and more convenient listening time.